Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iraq's prime minister says the alleged killings of civilians by U.S. Marines in Haditha in November were not justified. In London, Nouri al-Maliki said the international troops in Iraq need to be more careful, and he also offered condolences for the victims of the alleged killings of about 24 people. The Pentagon is investigating reports that Marines killed civilians after a roadside bomb killed one of their comrades. General Michael Hayden sworn in as CIA director today. He told the officers at the spy agency they must be competent and cooperative to keep the central in Central Intelligence Agency. While the CIA was once preeminent among the 15 other spy agencies, the 2004 intelligence reform law made it equal to other spy organizations, including the National Security Agency. Hayden, the former NSA chief, who served as the number two intelligence official for the last year, was sworn in by National Intelligence Director John Negroponte. George Bush plans to come to CIA headquarters tomorrow for a second Hayden swearing in. John Muhammad convicted in six more of the Washington area sniper killings today. The Maryland jury took slightly more than 4 hours to convict him in the 2002 shootings. The most he can get for those six murders is life in prison without parole. He's already sentenced to death for a sniper killing in Virginia. Muhammad represented himself in the four-week trial. His former protege, Lee Malvo, testified against him last week. The FBI has now confirmed it's found no trace of Jimmy Hoffa in a two-week search of a horse farm near Detroit. Agents have been digging up the farm, dismantling a barn, in one of the most intensive searches in decades for the former Teamsters boss. When officials arrived at the farm earlier this month, the agents in charge said they were pursuing a credible tip on the disappearance of the former Teamsters boss, often last seen at a Detroit-area restaurant in 1975. The Supreme Court will not hear an appeal over Boy Scout recruiting at a Michigan public school. John Scalise asked the High Court to block public schools from welcoming Scout recruiters and promoting membership. He said the group discriminates against non-religious boys and parents by denying them membership in the Boy Scouts if they don't take religious oaths. The dispute dates back to 1998. Scalise says he and his son were barred from a Scout program at the elementary school because they refused to pledge to, quote, do my duty to God and my country.
8 years, Hank has served as chairman and chief executive officer of the Goldman Sachs Group. It's one of the most respected firms on Wall Street.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America. Thanks for tuning in. I'm looking at the wrong clock, apparently. Just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Jim Martin. He's a Democrat running for lieutenant governor here in Georgia. His possible opponent will be the thuggish Ralph Reed, a person who does everything he can to facilitate child rape in the North Mariana Islands. And then we're going to have some audio for you tonight that impressed me today. Al Gore, I realized Al Gore was interviewed last Friday on this network, but I didn't get to hear it. He was interviewed today by NPR's Terry Gross on her program Fresh Air, and we took a little bit of sound from that because I want you to hear what Gore had to say. Over the week, happy Memorial Day. I got an email on Memorial Day, and of course we weren't working yesterday, so let me address it now. It comes from R.D. Stessen, and he writes, Hi Mike, my name is Rick, I'm a Vietnam vet. I wrote to you a couple of weeks ago, and you were kind enough to allow me to vent about the idiot son's brother, Jeb, cutting the flow of internet meds from entering the state of Florida. I'd like to honor a friend on this Memorial Day who lost his life in my stead. His name was Vernon Holifield, and he died on August 25th, 1966. I know you don't do poems, but if you just read it to yourself and maybe raise the next one to him, someone else would know of him, for he was a good and kind person who lacked even an iota of meanness. Thanks, Mike. I owe him dearly. All right, it's just four lines. Laser paths of red death bore blindly through the fight. They loosed the flow of arteries and impaled the heart of night. For those who gave their all upon that jungle's floor, I raise one high and honor them from now till evermore. Sure, Rick, I'll do it. It's nice to acknowledge someone who, from what you tell me in the letter, was honorable in the military, given what we are confronted with. We're going to talk about this tonight. Again, we've talked about it going all the way back to November when this event first occurred, the massacre by U.S. Marines in Haditha, Iraq. Also this came in right before the show. This is from Prairie 2. Hey, Mike, put on the tinfoil hat and ponder this. Bird flu kills its human victims by producing a massive allergic immune response that fills the lungs, kidneys, etc. with fluid. Actual infection is not required, only exposure to the proteins. This is why so far it has not spread outside birds. If someone were to manufacture the proteins that the virus produces, much the same way you make vaccine, they would have the ultimate terror weapon. Dusted on a city under ideal conditions, it would produce nearly 100% mortality. Ironically, the only survivors would be people with poor immune systems. If someone wanted to create widespread panic without the risk of a runaway pandemic, this would be their best toy. The so-called outbreak would be confined to however large an area you wanted to treat, just like dusting crops. The material would biodegrade in a short time. The amount required would be small compared to pesticide usage. No drug treatment or vaccine would protect you. In fact, it would make the immune response worse. They would not have to do the whole country, just a few cities, then claim they contained it, but they'd have to maintain martial law just to be safe. All right, Prairie 2, I have no idea whether what you just wrote to me is true or not where it concerns the virus, that the bird flu virus, the way it kills humans. But I'll take your word for it. Prairie 2 usually sends us authentic stuff. I'll probably get 9 emails here within the next hour from doctors and nurses that says, no, it's not that way. But anyway, it's weird. Now, how about this guy, Henry Paulson, who somebody told Bush to put him in as Treasury Secretary. Do you understand who this guy is? He is being opposed by a coalition of so-called free market-based policy groups. Now, free market-based policy groups mean extreme right-wing neo-fascist corporatists who want no regulation, no nothing, just the right to be as predatory as they damn well please on any continent that they damn well please. These groups, National Legal and Policy Center, the Free Enterprise Action Fund, Capital Research Center, National Center for Public Policy Research, and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. Oh, Christ, you people make me vomit. They sent a letter to Bush asking him not to nominate Goldman Sachs Chairman and CEO Henry Paulson as Treasury Secretary. Why? Because of his, quote, controversial stand on environmental issues, end quote. You see, Paulson is the chairman of the Nature Conservancy. Are you ready for that? Did you know that? An environmental activist group that endorses the Kyoto Treaty that would require the U.S. to make some changes in the way we are destroying the atmosphere. John Carlisle, who's policy director at the National Legal and Policy Center, which is an extremist right-wing organization, wrote the following. As head of the Nature Conservancy, Paulson often made decisions that benefited the Conservancy, can you believe that, at the expense of Goldman Sachs and its shareholders. Based on his private sector record, Paulson simply can't be trusted as Treasury Secretary to faithfully adhere to important administration policies on Kyoto and the environment. End quote. In other words, don't trust Paulson because he might do something to try to save the life of this worthless bastard who just wrote what I just read to you and his worthless offspring and their worthless offspring. I'm not saying they're worthless. The guy who wrote this tripe is saying he and his family and his children, his grandchildren, if he has any, are worthless and should choke to death. That's how evil these people are. This guy went on to say, John Carlisle, policy director of the National Legal and Policy Center, went on to say the Goldman Sachs board failed to respond to questions about the apparent conflict of interest between Paulson's environmental agenda, they love that word, don't they, and his management of the company. Now, this is from Tom Borelli of the Free Enterprise Action Fund. He goes on, quote, you do not want someone serving as a cabinet officer who has a habit of indulging his environmental hobby at the expense of his financial responsibilities. Woo-hoo-hoo! His environmental hobby. God, I hate these people. So here's Bush today nominating Paulson, another white man with no hair, for a cabinet position. I guess Bush likes to be the only man with hair at his cabinet meeting. Okay, so his Tejano and Rummy get to keep theirs. I guess this means this nomination is another attempt in Operation Approval Ratings Boost. You know, they're trotting out pickles every time Bush leaves the White House, and here he's trying to out-Gore. Too little, too late, Bush.
I'm pleased to announce that I will nominate Henry Paulson to be the Secretary of the Treasury. For the past 8 years, Hank has served as chairman and chief executive officer of the Goldman Sachs Group. It's one of the most respected firms on Wall Street.
Oh, yeah?
He's a lifetime of business experience. He has an intimate knowledge of financial markets and an ability to explain economic issues in clear terms.
Unlike you, Sparky.
He's earned a reputation for candor and integrity.
Which means there's going to be massive conflicts once this guy... this guy is confirmed. Now, what is going to be interesting, whoever told Bush to nominate this guy ignored what these extreme right-wing corporatist groups, these neo-Nazi, neo-fascist groups, what they were recommending. They ignored that advice. So this means, obviously, that those right-wing neo-fascist organizations, those extreme right-wing organizations, business organizations, are now going to prevail upon the Republicans in the Senate. Can you see what's possibly going to develop here? Republican senators voting no on this nomination. Isn't that interesting? And Democrats voting yes. As Alice said, it gets curiouser and curiouser, doesn't it? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
being wise about the money.
Almost 23 past the hour, and again, coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Jim Martin, who is running for lieutenant governor here in Georgia. Now, this is important, even though you don't live here. If Jim makes it through the Democratic primary and gets the nomination, and there's no reason to believe he won't, and if this filthy subhuman Ralph Reed makes it through the Republican primary, and there's question whether or not he will. He's being challenged by another Republican for the nomination here in Georgia, who is equally a thug, but not to the degree of hypocrisy as Ralph Reed. But if Reed makes it, then it's going to be a contest between Jim Martin and Ralph Reed. On the way into work tonight, I was listening, as I always do, to Sam Cedar on Air America, and he was talking about this article that appeared in Washington Post on Monday about Ralph Reed. It's just unbelievable what this pig has done. We've been talking about this for quite some time. It was just in the Washington Post on Monday yesterday. But Reed and Abramoff and Tom DeLay are the ones who decided that the North Mariana Islands, where a lot of American products are made by American companies, but they're outsourced. So the sweatshops that are producing these well-known American labels are run by Indonesians or Chinese who import women and underage children, women who are pregnant and maybe don't know it. Once they get there, they're forced to have abortions. Now, remember, Ralph Reed, this lying, hypocritical son of a bitch, styles himself as a follower of Christ. He's a follower of Satan, if he's a follower of anything. But he continues to fool people. Reed supported the idea that forced abortions was appropriate for the women who found themselves in what amounted to an indentured servitude once they got to the Solomon Islands or the North Marianas. Now, this is U.S. territory. We have jurisdiction over what happens there. The sweatshops are run by Chinese nationalists or Singaporeans or Indonesians, what have you. But the hypocrisy of Ralph Reed, the murderous hypocrisy of Ralph Reed, is boundless. The way he explained to the people, and this was on Sam's program tonight, the way he explained to these fake, bloodthirsty Christians who especially here in Georgia, but anywhere in the country, was, well, yeah, we're going to support this operation because, you know, when the Chinese, when they bring in these workers, we have people there who convert them to Christianity. And then when they go back to China, they'll convert other people. They'll witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, all the time, Reed knows he's a lying, filthy hypocrite. Ralph Reed doesn't care a thing about any Christian or Christ or anybody. Ralph Reed is a greedy little tyrant. But he knows how to activate the so-called base, these poor, miserable, so-called Christians that cluster in these mega churches, 20, 25,000 strong, who believe that if they buy more stuff and make more money, Jesus will love them more, even though Jesus said better, that are easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. But Reed and all of these Christian coalition leaders, these Rick Warren, I'll get to Rick Warren a little bit later on tonight, the guy that wrote the Purpose-Driven Life. Oh, is this guy a killer? It just never stops. I just wonder if my grandmother, who really was a Christian, were alive today, I wonder what she'd be doing. I think she'd probably pick up a rifle and hunt these people down and send them to God. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian Vermont American Bits and Blades proudly supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you can be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. I know a lot of people listening to this program are familiar with Band of Brothers 2006. That's a political organization that supports Democratic military veterans running for elective office. Most of the time, they offer their endorsement to people who are running on a national basis because they understand the necessity of getting the House and or the Senate back into the hands of Democrats. Band of Brothers 2006 announced back in March that they're endorsing Jim Martin here in Georgia in his campaign for lieutenant governor of the state. Now, let me tell you just very quickly about Martin. He's an Army veteran, including a tour of duty in Vietnam. He was a lieutenant in the Army. When he got out of the service, he came back to Georgia and got into the law business in the Georgia General Assembly. He was staff attorney and legislative advocate for the Atlanta Legal Aid Society and Georgia Legal Services Program, which is important. For 18 years, he was a member of the Georgia House of Representatives. And during his career there, he was responsible for some major pieces of reform legislation in the areas of health care, family law, civil and criminal justice, education, probate, business law, environmental law, labor law, and tax policy. And a partridge in a pear tree. The reason we wanted to get Jim on, I've known about Jim. I don't think he and I have ever met, but I've known about him for a long time here in the Atlanta area. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I used to listen to you late night on WSB.
Oh, my God. That goes back a million years. first of all, let me ask you about the primary coming up, because tonight on Air America out of New York, the program that was on right before me, they were talking about this latest revelation in the Washington Post about the man who could be your opponent, Ralph Reed. And I think the article came out yesterday. Now, most of us here in Georgia know about all we need to know about Ralph Reed. But I just wonder, first of all, how confident are you about the Democratic primary first?
Well, we have we've been doing polling all during the campaign, and the polls indicate that I have a lead. I've got a contested primary, and I'm not taking it for granted, but we put together a really good organization. We've got great grassroots support across the state with people I've worked with in the legislature and in the Department of Human Resources when I was Commissioner of the Department of Human Resources. They're supporting me, so we have every reason to believe that we're going to win the primary, and we also believe that Ralph Reed is going to be the Republican nominee, and then it really will be an interesting race. You know, you mentioned the lobbyist activities that Ralph Reed was engaged in. We in Georgia remember also the campaign he ran against the distinguished veteran Max Cleland, and people in South Carolina remember the campaign they ran against the distinguished prisoner of war John McCain. So from a veteran's point of view, it's clear that Ralph Reed has misused patriotism in this country.
I think people need to hear just a little bit more about that. I think we're all familiar, at least people around the country, maybe not as familiar as those of us here in Georgia, but people around the country figured out, because he got some publicity, what happened to Max Cleland. He was swift-boated, I guess would be the phrase.
Right, and the implication was that he was in supporter of bin Laden, and it was a real dirty campaign that was run against a distinguished Georgian. Max Cleland has been a friend of mine for a long time, and disabled a Vietnam veteran, mm-hmm. and served well not only in the United States Senate, but as the head of the Veterans Administration. So many people in Georgia, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, remember that part of Ralph Reed and don't like it.
Yeah, it was Reed that was behind that campaign against Cleland.
He was the chairman of the Republican Party in Georgia at the time.
That's right. That's right. All right. Let's get as quickly as we can here into a more positive vein. A lot of people who are listening tonight have absolutely no interest whatsoever in Georgia politics, Jim, and I acknowledge that. But we've made it clear that we'll be interviewing candidates or just talking with candidates from various offices around the country who do identify themselves as real Democrats. Now, a lot of people outside the South don't understand that sometimes a Democrat in the South a little bit different from a Democrat someplace else. But tell me what you, or not me, but tell the audience here what you think you will do as a Democrat when you're elected lieutenant governor? What are you going to do that would make you different from these other people?
The lieutenant governor in Georgia, that position is the presiding officer over the state senate. The lieutenant governor is in the executive branch of state government, but is the presiding officer of the state senate. Historically in Georgia, the lieutenant governor has been that person that helps put together the legislative budget and substantive legislation that the governor has presented to the legislature. So if we have a Democratic governor, then the lieutenant governor is going to play a critical role in helping them get their legislation through a Republican legislature.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a Republican governor, then the lieutenant governor, as a Democrat, has a responsibility to effectively articulate the issues that the Democratic Party stands for. Now, it looks like we're whining or just complaining, but we really are saying that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats on the important issues that affect people here in Georgia.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is what do you think are just two or three key issues that affect Georgians?
Well, I think the issues in Georgia probably are similar across the country, but we've got real challenges in Georgia in terms of our senior citizens and making sure that they are confused over drug benefits. I mean, in fact, the Medicaid Part D in Georgia had the effect of some people who were getting the assistance no longer get it. And not everybody, but it's a confusing program, and we need to have a straightforward approach in Georgia to help senior citizens get their medications, to be able to stay out of nursing homes, and to be supported in their own homes. We need to have a first-class education system in Georgia. We've lagged behind the rest of the country in dealing with that. Our dropout rate in Georgia is at the bottom among the states, and that's unacceptable. It condemns our children to economic failure, and has a potential of condemning our state to economic failure, at least not the prosperity that we want for our state. We also have a problem in health care in this state. Most states do. We like those states. We have 1.5 million Georgians who don't have any health insurance. That's unacceptable. There needs to be, we need to take some initiatives in Georgia to try to deal with that problem. Those are the things that people across the state, Republicans and Democrats, are telling me they're concerned about.
Now, it's my understanding that Sonny Perdue, the governor, the Republican governor, has, even though tax revenues are up in the state of Georgia this year, say over last year, as a result, in my opinion, of more efficient work yet again out of workers here, not necessarily out of economic programs put in place by Sonny Perdue, but let me give you an example. The Korean car manufacturer that was going to build down in West Point, Georgia, and now the chairman of the company in Korea, South Korea, has been indicted, and that entire project, as my understanding, is on hold. What does a lieutenant governor have to do where it concerns getting industry and jobs into the state of Georgia? Anything?
Well, he does have a role in that. First of all, he presides over the state senate, but more importantly, he articulates what needs to be done to address the economic issues in our state. Frankly, I believe that for every big plant that opens up, it's much more important to have lots of small businesses. That the way for this state to prosper is to encourage the development of small business. Other states have done that by creating an insurance pool for small businesses to be able to purchase health insurance for their employees. I believe that's something that needs to be done. I'm committed to doing that, working with the governor and with the legislature to see that we do something to allow small businesses to get health insurance for their employees. It's more likely that one piece of legislation would do more to generate jobs in Georgia than bringing any automobile manufacturer to the state.
Jim has a website. It's jimforgeorgia.com. Four is spelled out. Jim, F-O-R, Georgia. Check it out. No matter where you live around the country, check it out. If you think he is the type of Democrat you'd like to back, I'll say this like I've said about all the people we've had on, Democratic candidates, you can send them a check. You can send some campaign contributions, even though you may live in Montana or Southern California. It really doesn't matter. If you're going to back Democrats, you got to back them all over the country. Let me ask you something, Jim. Why do you think Band of Brothers 2006 endorsed you, other than the fact that, I mean, yeah, you're a veteran, you're in the Army, you're in Vietnam, you're a lieutenant, but why did this group back you? They normally only back national or candidates who are running for national office.
Well, I think the Banner Brothers, I can't speak for them. I was delighted with their endorsement and really overwhelmed by the support of other veterans for my campaign. I think that they realize that for Georgia and then even perhaps for the nation, this election is critical. There was a period of time in the early 60s when Georgia and Alabama were the same, and I love my neighbors from Alabama. But Georgia elected Carl Sanders as governor of Georgia, and Alabama elected George Wallace as governor of Alabama. And Alabama went through a period of economic decline as a result of that. And people are concerned in Georgia and across the nation that if Ralph Reed and his kind of politics is on the ascendancy in this country, that's a path that we don't want to go down. And I think people in Georgia, conservative and liberal, Republicans and Democrats, are realizing that this approach that Ralph Reed has not only to his political position, but to his lobbying and to his campaign activities is something that this country doesn't, is better than and doesn't want to participate in. And so they see this as an opportunity to prevent that from happening. And that probably is one of the reasons that the Banner Brothers decided to endorse this campaign.
Last question here, Jim. I don't want to leave this on a downer, but on the other hand, if you get the nomination, which I have no reason to doubt that you will, and if Reed does, you seem to think that he probably will, In 20 seconds, tell me how you're going to defend yourself against the attack that Reed's going to level against you.
Well, I don't know. Well, he will attack me, or he'll attack anybody. That's been his strategy forever, is to attack, find personal issues, attack their opponent, use everything negative he can possibly use. I'm going to take him on. I'm going to call him for what he's done in terms of his lobbying, what he's done in lobbying and misleading people, activities have been
so
engaged.
You're going to fight back?
Fight back from the beginning.
Absolutely.
People want us to fight for our country, and I'm willing to do that.
There you go. All right, Jim Martin, thanks a lot for
Mike,
taking time.
Thank you so much. I've
All right, sir. I'm glad you could make it. It's Jim for Georgia. Check it out, jimforgeorgia.com. Take a look at his website. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back. Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 8 before the hour. During the next hour, we're going to have the sound for you, Al Gore, on Fresh Air. I know he was on Rachel Maddow's show on Friday, but I didn't hear it, and I regret that. I'm just not up that early. But we did hear Al Gore probably give basically the same interview today on Terry Gross's program on NPR, Fresh Air, and we've got some sound that we want you to hear. So apologies to my colleague Rachel Maddow for not being up at 4 in the morning to hear her program and get the sound from there. I'm sorry, Rachel. I apologize. All right, let's do some phone calls here during the last part of the segment. Hank is calling from – where are you calling from, Hank?
Boston area. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Welcome to the program.
Okay. I'm one of those older guys, World War II vets.
Ah.
My oldest brother was home with malaria. I was getting ready to be drafted. My second oldest brother was a victim of a friendly bombing in St. Lo in France.
Mm-hmm.
Most of his company wiped out with him. It was a cloudy day. Instead of hitting the Germans on the cliff, they hit the guys who were supposed to be attacking the Germans.
Right.
Sad story.
Yeah.
And I haven't ever really grieved enough on that, and I'm grieving as I speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to accept 25% friendly fire deaths. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Schwarzkopf said that, and they pulled the camera away from him as he said it. And I thought I saw sort of a look on his face saying, do something about it. One in four of our casualties are caused by friendly fire.
That's it. Wow.
Cool. Okay?
Okay.
Now, that's pretty ugly to think about.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to compare it with other friendly fire things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a cloudy day and they dropped the bombs. But here we have Pat Tillman standing X feet away from a group of his comrades.
Mm-hmm.
And he lands up being killed and dying
mm-hmm.
from three bullets to the forehead. Are you familiar?
I know Tillman's killed by friendly fire after the U.S. military lied to the American public and to his family. I didn't know the precise sort of wounds that
killed
him. Yeah,
that's on the Internet.
Okay.
Three rounds to the forehead. Three dots on the third eye, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And that, I thought about that so-called friendly fire and compared it with my brothers. Then I thought about the friendly fire that killed some of our journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we're supposed to accept 25% of the journalists killed being friendly fire.
Mm.
Ugly stuff.
Right, right.
So I don't know how we can deal with it. So I think that I'm just wondering if you'd be willing, rather than a poem, to do 7 seconds of silence in memory of Pat Tillman and my brother.
Okay, will do. Thanks a lot, Hank. We'll do it as soon as we hang up.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let's have 7 seconds of silence, as Hank requested, starting right now. There you go, Hank. We're about ready for a break here. When we come back, I think we'll start out with this conversation with Terry Gross and Al Gore today. Kathy and I were sitting out back getting some sun and trying to breathe. It was 93 here today. With Molly, we got a little wading pool in the backyard that we bought. Where did we get that, Target? And so Molly's playing in the pool, a little wading pool, and we have Kathy and I have a radio that's made in South Africa, one of the solar. It's got a little solar panel on the back and a hand crank in case there's no sun, but it runs on solar energy. Kathy's mother bought this for me a couple of years ago. And the idea when this thing was developed was to, it would be used in the bush where there's no electricity, whether it was in Africa or South America or Australian outback. But the cost, I think it was around $100 when she got it. Anyway, so we were listening today to our little solar radio. Just great. I love that radio. And we heard the interview with Al Gore and Terry Gross. So we're going to play some of that sound for you when we come back. And again, my apologies to my colleague Rachel Maddow for not being up and hearing it on her program, but I know a lot of people did, probably more than heard him on Terry Gross. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare. The latest novel by the Majority Report's Sam Cedar and Stephen Sherrill. It's available now! This book answers important questions like, where can I get help if I'm a gay-bashing Republican and I'm gay? How can we stop the American Taliban? And of course, why is Tom Friedman such a hack? My name is Janine Garofalo, and I am urging you to get FUBAR today. FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare. Available now from bookstores everywhere and from AirAmericaRadio.com.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Iran's foreign minister says his country is ready to restart negotiations with the European Union on its nuclear program, but he ruled out direct talks with the U.S. The minister says Iran is responding to a call from the non-aligned movement and is ready to resume talks without any preconditions. The official spoke in Malaysia following a non-aligned foreign minister's meeting, which ended today. The announcement raised hopes Iran would react positively to a planned package of incentives, which are hoped to convince it to abandon uranium enrichment. The package to be presented to Iran by France, Britain, and Germany, the three nations that broke off talks with Iran in August 2005, when Iran resumed activities linked to uranium enrichment. A ban on abortion gets closer to a vote in South Dakota. An abortion rights group submitted petitions with more than twice the number of signatures needed to ask voters to repeal the state's sweeping abortion ban. South Dakota lawmakers earlier this year invited a constitutional challenge by passing the strictest abortion law in the U.S. The law set to take effect July 1st would criminalize all abortions except those necessary to save a woman's life. There are no exceptions for rape or incest. The South Dakota Campaign for Healthy Families says it turned in more than 38,000 signatures to petition for a statewide referendum. The South Dakota Secretary of State's office will check the validity of the signatures and determine if the measure qualifies for the ballot. The measure passed in South Dakota was aimed at starting a court fight that supporters hoped would lead to the U.S. Supreme Court and eventually the overturning of the Roe v. Wade 1973 decision that established the right to an abortion. A lawyer says the Pentagon is focusing on about a dozen enlisted U.S. Marines as they investigate the shooting deaths of up to two dozen Iraqi civilians last November. The lawyer represents one of the commanding officers, and they say the commanders are not the focus of the investigation. The attorney says investigators are looking at the troops who are in a four-vehicle convoy that was hit by a roadside bomb last November in the western Iraqi city of Haditha. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says he's looking forward to working with a Treasury Secretary who's, quote, highly respected in the financial world. Goldman Sachs top executive Henry Paulson is also being called an exceptionally able candidate by Securities Exchange Commission Chairman Christopher Cox. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Trying to hold off on this Haditha story from Iraq for a while. It is extremely gruesome, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. But I do want to get on with this Al Gore Q&A from NPR today. We have five extraordinary quotes from him. If you didn't hear the interview with Terry Gross, you can get it at NPR.org. If you didn't hear the interview with Rachel Maddow, you can get it at AirAmericaRadio.com somewhere. All right, let's start with Al Gore. This is about how Gore was mocked and called a kook. That's the most gentle thing. During the 2000 campaign for his views on global warming.
Over the years, when you were in politics, you were sometimes mocked for your environmental positions. George H.W. Bush called you Ozone Man and said if the Clinton-Gore ticket won, we'll be up to our neck in owls and out of work. Are there other ways that you think the issue was spun over the years to make environmentalists and people who are interested in reversing the effects of global warming seem like kooks?
Sure. And that's another reason that it has been difficult to communicate the truth, the inconvenient truth, if you will, about this planetary emergency. And that is that some interests, political, business, and otherwise, and ideological, have used every means at their disposal to confuse people, to put out misinformation, much in the way the tobacco industry tried to confuse people about the scientific linkage after the Surgeon General's report in 1964 showing that smoking cigarettes causes lung disease. The disinformation, the ridicule, the intentional confusion, all that's part of a political strategy.
Yeah, and the political strategy, of course, is the strategy of the neocons in this country, the right-wingers, the neo-fascists, the Christian crazies, in other words, Bush's base. Now, this next one, from his film, have there been any articles on global warming that disagreed with the science of global warming and how the media has spread the lie that human beings aren't the cause of global warming? This was kind of scary.
You mentioned a study that you cite in your documentary and in your book, An Inconvenient Truth. The scientific journals, the scientists agreed about global warming, but in these four major American newspapers, equal weight was given in half the articles to the opposing view that human beings are not causing global warming. So what does that say to you? How do you interpret that?
Well, it's astonishing. It illustrates the vulnerability of our marketplace of ideas, our public conversation, if you will, to manipulation by the kinds of techniques that were innovated early in the 20th century and were labeled propaganda. They're more sophisticated now. They're part of corporate PR strategies. The nature of the news media has also changed. As a result, I think we're more vulnerable to this kind of manipulation. I think we've seen it in other areas as well. Before the vote on the Iraq war, 77% of the American people genuinely believed that it was Saddam Hussein who was responsible for hijacking the planes and flying them into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. And when there's a very well-funded, determined, unethical corporate campaign of disinformation, it can have a much larger impact on the impressions put into the minds of the American people than is healthy in a democracy.
Unethical. It's really frightening what Gore was saying today. And yeah, his he sounds very laconic here, kind of laid back. But you can't jump up and down. I do. But Al Gore can't jump up and down and say corporate America lies, American media lies, the Bush crime family lies. I think most people know that. In this one, Terry Gross asks Al Gore for his evaluation of the Bush White House on global warming, and Gore references this psychopath Philip Cooney, of, I believe he was CEO of Exxon, wasn't he, Kathy? Here it is.
I'd like your evaluation of the Bush White House on global warming.
Well, it's a great disappointment. And I must say I'm not completely surprised, because I did more or less expect it. But the brazenness of it is surprising. To take the chief propagandist in charge of the disinformation campaign funded by ExxonMobil and a few other irresponsible companies, and make that person the person in charge of all White House environmental policy, and to take that person who has no scientific training whatsoever and empower him to censor the scientific reports that were intended by the EPA and other groups of scientists for the American people, and to censor them to conform to the economic desires of the biggest polluters in the country, I think that should shock people. Almost every key position in that affects environmental policy has been filled by the Bush-Cheney administration with spokespersons, propagandists, lobbyists for the polluters.
Now, the Philip Cooney, of course, that he was referring to, he didn't mention him by name, although Terry Gross mentions him in the next question. But he was not, my bad, he's certainly not the CEO of ExxonMobil. He was one of the legal advisors for ExxonMobil on how to skirt the law, how to violate the law, how to lie to the American public, how to avoid paying for the disaster of the Exxon Valdez that still hasn't been paid for. Even though it was, what, Kathy, 14 years ago in Alaska, I believe. Now, this next one, a question from Terry Gross about what surprises Gore the most about how the Bush presidency has turned out.
What surprises you most about how the Bush presidency has turned out?
I guess what surprises me most is his incuriosity. It is a puzzle that he would ask no questions about important matters. When his first Secretary of the Treasury came in for their first meeting and spoke for an hour about the economic policies of the new administration, he asked not a single question. When he received the briefing about in August of 2001 that Osama bin Laden was planning a major attack soon on the United States, he did not ask a single question. When he was briefed before several days before the Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans and the weather service people were saying it may be mark a return to medieval conditions, he asked not a single question. That same incuriosity seems to be a factor when he just accepts hook, line, and sinker the ExxonMobil view that global warming is not a problem, in no way related to the massive volumes of pollution we're putting into the Earth's atmosphere every hour of every day. He doesn't apparently look under the rug. He doesn't ask questions. And in the American system, the President of the United States is the only person who is charged with representing all of the people in every state and every district and looking after the welfare of the people as a whole. And if a special interest has one view, at least you should ask questions about how the public interest is affected. And I really do not know why he is so incurious.
Can I make a suggestion, Mr. President? Why Bush is... No, I better not, because once again it might put my broadcast license in jeopardy. We'll be back after the break. One more from Al Gore from today's program, Terry Gross on NPR, Fresh Air. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Couldn't win without a Spider-Man trip. To Washington they had to run. States' races weren't that much fun. Don't you hate that crap? They just keep lying all the time. But
just
fine. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian Vermont American Bits and Blades probably supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you could be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
The dream in solar energy is to develop technology so that someday your house is like a little generating plant. It's possible to capture the sun, feed it into your house. I think that's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah, sure you do, chuckle nuts. All right, last one from Al Gore on Terry Gross's Fresh Air today on NPR. Now, in this last question, Terry Gross asked Gore if he's amazed at how much the world has changed since he ran for president in 2000.
Does it ever amaze you how much the world has changed since you ran for presidency? September 11th, the war in Iraq, the debt that we have, Hurricane Katrina. I mean, on every front, things have changed so much. Did you imagine that that much change would even be possible?
No, no. I did not. And I'm not alone in that. You know, the premise of that Saturday Night Live skit was the existence of an alternate universe. And there are people who sort of voluntarily say, now it feels as if we've entered an alternate universe. I would not have imagined, for example, that Americans could be routinely torturing helpless captives in the name of the American people, and to continue it day after day. It's going on right now without an ongoing outrage and a demand that it stop. I would not have imagined that the government could routinely eavesdrop on tens of millions of Americans without a warrant and not have an ongoing outrage. I would not have imagined that we, the American people, would tolerate the locking up by the executive branch of American citizens without right to trial, without right to inform their families, to be held in secret without being charged. These are offenses against the Constitution and the rule of law that I would never have imagined could take place, much less be allowed to continue after they were came to light. So, yeah, the degree of change is truly shocking to me.
And to the rest of us, Mr. President. Okay, we just thought you might like to hear that. If you missed that program today or missed Rachel's interview with Al Gore last Friday, and you can get either program. You can go to npr.org or airamericaradio.com and find those two interviews. The investigation allegedly has begun into the incident where Marines are accused of killing, executing 24 unarmed civilians in Haditha, I believe is the way you pronounce it, Iraq, last November. As you know, many of those people who were executed were women and little children. John Murtha, the decorated Marine veteran and veteran of the U.S. House, was on Good Morning America today talking about this. And Murtha pointed out again, he said 80% of the Iraqis want us out of there. 47% of Iraqis say it's okay now to kill Americans. Yet, when we went in, Murtha says, they thought it was wonderful to topple Saddam Hussein. Now we've lost the war and it's time to redeploy. And, of course, Murtha is on the record for not believing in any way, shape, or form that the U.S. military or the Bush crime family or any entity from the United States can possibly ever, not in this lifetime, not in the next 30, earn the respect or the hearts and minds that they used to say in the Vietnam era of the Iraqi people. Regarding the slaughter in Haditha, the first five victims were unarmed Iraqi civilians were riding in a taxi near the Marine convoy that was hit by an improvised explosive device which killed a young man. The five Iraqis who were nearby were said to be running away when the Marines shot them, and none of the people shot were armed, nor were they apparently involved in the explosive device. The Marines are believed to have entered three houses. In the final house, they reportedly killed four adult brothers after ordering the women in the house to leave. Time magazine reported that at least one of the women tried to save her child's life by standing over her child and begging in English. Regarding that, Murtha said, quote, it breaks my heart to think the Marines would do this. I'm hoping this is an isolated incident, but we're supposed to be selling ideas of America. Ideals of America, and we're losing that war, Murtha said. The reason we've lost the hearts and minds As these troops are under tremendous stress, day after day these roadside bombs go off, they don't know who the enemy is, and they kill innocent people, end quote. Well, I disagree with you a little bit there, Mr. Murtha. The reason civilians are being butchered by our troops in Iraq is because of the madness of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and the Bush crime family. Now, according to various reports, anywhere from 8 to 12 Marines are under investigation for the killings, for the executions. They belong to the outfit known as Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 101st Marine Regiment, based at California's Camp Pendleton. And I want you to hear what one of these Marines said who was involved in this, maybe not in the killing, but was on the scene shortly after the executions. We'll be right back.
I have paid my debt, now won't you leave me in my misery?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
It's time to take back America. The right has failed our nation. The country seeks new solutions. It's our time to lead. Time for new vision, new ideas, and new energy. So come join the campaign for America's future in partnership with Air America Radio at the 2006 Take Back America Conference. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders to discuss ideas, hone the message, organize, and build the infrastructure we need. The Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Register online at ourfuture.org. Join speakers Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many more at the 2006 Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in our nation's capital. Register today for the 2006 Take Back America Conference. Log on to airamerica.com or ourfuture.org to register now.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Thank you.
money again on research to help find breakthroughs for battery technologies that will enable you to drive a plug-in hybrid battery.
26 before the hour. Back to the investigation at of the execution of 24 unarmed civilians by United States Marines in Haditha, Iraq, last November. As I mentioned, according to various reports, anywhere from 8 to 12 Marines are under investigation for the slaughter. Several of the Marines under investigation had served two tours of duty in Iraq. One of them had served three. Congressional sources who were briefed by the Pentagon said that only two, three, or four Marines are believed to have been the shooters, and that the other Marines are believed to have looked on without doing anything. According to some military lawyers, several of the Marines involved could be charged with murder, which is punishable by death in military courts. The Pentagon has also launched a second investigation into whether there was a cover-up. Hours after the Iraqi civilians were executed, a second team of Marines were sent in to take the bodies to a local morgue. One of those Marines told the LA Times he's still haunted by what he saw. Lance Corporal Ryan Briones told the newspaper, the victims ranged from little babies to adult males and females. I can still smell the blood. This left something in my head and heart. Briones also told the Times that he took pictures of at least 15 bodies and is still haunted by the memory of picking up a young girl who had been shot in the head. Demonstrating with his arms extended, he said, I held her out like this, but her head was bobbing up and down, and the insides fell out of my legs. The insides of the little girl's head fell out on his legs. Briones' mother, Susie Briones, told CNN her son is now suffering from post-traumatic stress. The mother said it was horrific. It was a terrible scene. The biggest thing that comes to his mind is the children. The mother said since he was part of the cleanup crew, he had to carry that little girl's body and her head was blown off. Her brains splattered on his boots. And that is what affected Brian the most. Susie Briones, who is the mother of this unfortunate young corporal, said he can't sleep. I can't get the child out of my head, his mother says. His mother says, we need to sit down and let's pray because you didn't have anything to do with that. Representative Murtha says, that atrocity of this caliber is something that cannot be excused. Murtha said, quote, there's no question in my mind about what happened here. There was no gunfire. They killed four people in a taxi and then went into the rooms and killed. I don't know how many were involved in it, but it's something we cannot excuse. This is what the Marine Corps told me at the highest level. I know there was a cover-up someplace. They knew about this a few days afterward, and there's no question that the chain of command tried to stifle the story. I can understand why, but that doesn't excuse it. These people have to be punished. Murtha added, I will not excuse murder, and this is what happened. According to All Things Considered tonight, the U.S. military paid $2,500 for each death in Haditha. That totaled out to about $38,000, according to what I have here, to the families of Iraqi civilians killed in that execution. The payments were made in December. In another development in this case, investigators have been told that a sergeant coaxed other Marines to come up with the cover story about the incident. The squad leader allegedly sought to prove his group was not at fault for the deaths. A particular concern to the sergeant investigators say was the deaths of five Iraqis in a taxi. They were unarmed and killed by Marines shortly after the roadside bomb went off. It is standard procedure for the military to make payments when it is at fault. The payments, which included $2,500 for each person killed, was authorized by the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, and his superiors. $2,500 for a little girl that had her brains blown out onto Corporal Brioni's pants. Jesus Christ. And George Bush says they hate us because we buy houses? Oh, my God. Murtha also said, quote, we're supposed to be fighting this war for democracy, and yet something like this happens. It's as bad as Abu Ghraib, if not worse. And in Afghanistan, the possibility here of 80 dead villagers, a USA-10 attack plane, several USA-10 attack planes earlier this week, last week, bombed an Afghan village in the middle of the night for several hours. Nearly 100 people were killed. So far, 16 have been acknowledged to have been innocent men, women, and children. The Pentagon is claiming that 20 of the dead, at least 20 of the 100, were Taliban fighters, though the accuracy of that information is open to question, since the Pentagon is also claiming that as many as 60 others of the dead may have been Taliban fighters. Of course, they equally may not have been. According to Dave Lindorf, writing at, where's this, Counterpunch? Pentagon spokesman Colonel Tom Collins says the ultimate cause of why civilians were injured and killed is because the Taliban knowingly, willfully chose to occupy homes of these people, end quote. Now, of course, that's an absolute lie, and this Pentagon spokesman should have his ass tossed out on the street after they rip his rank insignia off his uniforms. Notice that Collins is not even saying that the victims invited or allowed the Taliban into their homes. In fact, as Lindorf reports, according to reports, it appears the Taliban forced their way into civilian homes in order to try to escape U.S. attacks. And what are the people supposed to do? Tell these Taliban fighters to please go away? What Collins and the Pentagon conveniently forget is that the Geneva Codes require military forces to adhere to the doctrine of proportionality. If an enemy hides among non-combatants, especially where these include women and children, the attacking force must forego attacking unless there is a compelling military justification. To take an extreme case, it would clearly be a war crime to bomb a school full of children just to kill a single enemy soldier hiding in the building. And since the U.S. knowingly bombed houses in a village and killed at least 16 and wounded another 15 Afghan civilians in this latest attack, it's understandable that the Pentagon would be trying to claim another 60 Taliban deaths. People keep asking that question, why they hate us. Jesus Christ. The Telegraph of the UK a quote from a British security contractor in Iraq about his American counterparts, quote, I hate those bastards more than the scumbag insurgents, end quote. A British colonel recently returned from a tour in Iraq said that in our next war he would sooner fight alongside the Russians than the U.S. Another quote from a British security contractor, quote, the American way is not my way. I'm convinced that many Americans hate the Iraqis, not just the insurgents, but the Iraqis. What a mess. Do you know what, I'm sure you do, what Untermenschen? That's how the Nazis referred to Russians and Jews and Eastern Europeans in the Second World War. Our correspondent from the UK, Simon, writes, he quotes someone. He said, Mr. Griffin said he believed that the American soldiers viewed the Iraqis in the same way as the Nazis viewed the Russians, the Jews, and Eastern Europeans in the Second World War when they labeled them Untermenschen. Quote, as far as the Americans were concerned, the Iraqi people were subhuman. You could almost split the Americans into two groups, ones who were complete crusaders intent on killing Iraqis and the others who were in Iraq because the army was going to pay their college fees. They had no understanding or interest in the Arab culture. The Americans would talk to the Iraqis as if they were stupid. And these weren't isolated cases. This was from the top down. There might be one or two enlightened officers who understood the situation a bit better, but on the whole, that was their general attitude. That attitude fueled the insurgency. I think the Iraqis detested them. Man, I'll tell you, it's hard to find anything good to talk about, eh, truth seekers? Wait a minute. Has there been any more kidnapped white women? Maybe we could do that tonight. Hell, I don't know. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Song as he rode along, his guns hung at his hips. He rode into Cattle Town, a smile upon his lips.
I gave the people in Afghanistan a choice, but they didn't listen. They didn't respond. And now they're paying a price.
Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian, Vermont, American Bits and Blades probably supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you can be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken, Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either, so please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
It's about 10 before the hour. The horror here, of course, is that the incident at Haditha is not an isolated incident. I think most people with an understanding of what happens in a situation like the one George W. Bush and his criminals have put us in and put our military in, when you're in a situation like that, there is no such thing as one instance of civilians being butchered. Reg writes in, Mike, if you or I trained a group of pit bulls to attack and kill people, and they did so, we would be held accountable for the deaths of their victims. Similarly, the law holds the person who hires an assassin responsible for the crime that's committed. Why the hell are Bush and Rumsfeld and the top military thugs not being hauled before a court of law for what happened at Haditha and in dozens of other towns every day in Baghdad? This was not an isolated incident. We all know that. Our troops are conditioned to kill Iraqis by the people who sent them to war, their own government. In March of this year, a Zoghbi poll showed that 85% of the troops questioned believed they were fighting in Iraq, quote, to retaliate for Saddam's role in the 9/11 attacks, end quote, which is one of the key Iraq war myths built by Bush's frequent juxtaposition of references to Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. This subliminal message is stuck with the vast majority of U.S. troops and explains why it's so easy for some of them to kill Iraqi civilians. Bottom line is that more than 8 in 10 of the U.S. soldiers and Marines in Iraq think they are there avenging the 3,000 people killed on September 11th. I still recall, Reg writes, the photos of soldiers proudly marking bombs prepared for the shock and awe attack on Baghdad with the words, payback time. The March poll also found that 77% think that a major reason for the war was to, quote, stop Saddam from protecting al-Qaeda in Iraq, end quote. Another myth nurtured by the Bush administration, even though Hussein's secular government was a bitter enemy of al-Qaeda's Islamic fundamentalists. So much has been covered up, Reg writes. Fallujah has been forgotten. This, too, will be whitewashed, and most Americans won't give a damn. There has been no huge outcry over the tortures at Abu Ghraib and the other prisons. These are Arabs, a convenient euphemism for terrorists. They hate us because we deserve it. Reg. It is so frightening to me. So frightening to me. What is being done to American soldiers and Marines? Mark Garlasco of Human Rights Watch told reporters recently, quote, what happened at Haditha appears to be outright murder. The Haditha massacre will go down as Iraq's My Lai, end quote. But there are ongoing atrocities resulting from our occupation, from the Bush crime family doing this. Every single one of these deaths of American soldiers, Marines, Iraqi civilians, including the little girl whose brains spilled out on the Lance Corporal's uniform, all of it is directly related to George Bush's lies to use our military to attack this country. Isn't that disgusting? I mean, even you right-wingers who lurk and listen to the program, how do you deal with that? If you understand English, you know, even if you don't understand English, you understand at this point the lies that were told that resulted in an attack on another country by orders of the Bush crime family. You know this. You know this. You may be dumber than hell, but you do know this. So how do you justify, how do you right-wingers justify the butchery of children and non-combatants, people who are shot in the backs of their heads in bed? When you right-wingers watch your World War II movies and the John Wayne movies, you know, it's just awful when the dirty Germans or the filthy Japs slaughter innocent Poles or Filipinos, right? And you sit there and the revulsion rises in your gut and you drink another beer and you think, oh, thank God for John Wayne. Well, how do you miserable sons of bitches deal with this, huh? This is your war. You're the ones who backed this psychopath. And some of you still do. How do you deal with that? Do you have little kids? Huh? How about some invading army come into your house, Mr. Right-Winger, and put a bullet in the back of your little girl's head, bullet that you find in military weaponry, so that the back of her head comes off and her brains leak out on your nice right-wing carpeted floor. Huh? Yeah, never happened to you, right? No, God's on your side, right? Jesus. I don't know. I guess it's kind of stupid and pointless to even bring up these atrocity stories, right? Because the right-wingers will find justification for it. What is it? Freedom isn't free. War is hell. Some other half-assed, half-witted cliche that these right-wingers constantly and consistently come up with. Well, all I would say to you guys, and you women, who you right-wing women who will bust your ass to save the life of a fetus, but are content to sit back and allow 10-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds be executed. All I can say is to you right-wingers, if you have children, imagine if it were your kid.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
No doubt about it, the internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I've blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the internet, too. Isn't it time the internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm Janine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. A sniper accused of killing 10 people in the Washington, D.C. area in October 2002 has been convicted of 6 murders in Maryland. A jury in Rockville spent only a few hours deliberating before returning the guilty verdicts against John Allen Mohammed. He's already under a death sentence in Virginia for a sniper killing in that state. Mohammed will be sentenced in Montgomery County Court on Thursday, and he faces life in prison without parole. Mohammed's accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, testified against him at the trial. Malvo told the jury Mohammed had plans for bigger attacks, including killing children by bombing schools, buses, and hospitals. The search for the body of former Teamsters boss Jimmy Hoffa on a horse farm in Michigan is over. The FBI wrapped up its two-week search of the farm for Hoffa, who was last seen alive nearly 31 years ago. The search began after the FBI received a tip from a federal prison inmate who once lived on the farm. He said he saw some men using a backhoe to bury a body the day after Hoffa vanished. The brakes on a U.S. military truck failed, contributing to the deaths of at least five in Kabul, Afghanistan, in a major crash. Thousands rioted following the accident, claiming U.S. soldiers shot Afghanis as they responded to the truck crash. Priscilla Huff reports.
The U.S. military says the brakes on the truck speeding through Kabul overheated and failed. The driver did what he was trained to do, to swerve and try to slow the vehicle, but tragically it crashed, killing five. The accident ignited riots, with thousands chanting, "Death to America." The U.S. military admits its truck convoys often speed through densely populated areas to reduce risk to the American soldiers and materiel. But local Afghanis accused the U.S. military of shooting civilians at the scene of the accident and not caring about people on the ground. The U.S. military is promising a full investigation, while shop owners want to know why they had to take the brunt of the destruction during the rioting. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
General Motors has announced an additional $125 million worth of investments to expand work at its Ypsilanti, Michigan Township transmission plant. New Orleans and Louisiana officials want to redevelop part of the city into a 20-acre National Jazz Center and Jazz Park. The facilities would include a new concert venue and jazz museum in addition to open space. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Phone number here is 866-303-2270 if you would like to check in tonight. Let's go to the phones now. Ray is calling from Minnesota. Ray, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you for allowing me to be on in such a short, quick succession, Mike.
My pleasure.
Yeah. When Hitler was getting ready to kill his girlfriend and himself, his flunkies asked him the question, who do you want us to fight for now, Führer? And he made a comment that should give all of us pause, Michael. He said, for the kommende Mann, and my German is pretty awful, but basically for the coming man. Mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder if he had the United States in mind, because as you know, he studied this country assiduously.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to think about some things at a much deeper level. You know, I want to get rid of George Bush as badly as you do, but that's you're removing the hair from the tumor. We've got to get the tumor. We've got to get the media. We've got to confront our academic community. The academy has failed us. The religion's obviously failed us. It's like old growth or old vegetation that you burn off in a controlled burn situation.
Yeah.
And if I had my druthers, I'd have 150 million people in the streets tonight bringing down this empire. Michael,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
150 million people. I'm putting it on our website. You know, I want to work with World Can't Wait. I want to work with certainly you and Amy Goodman and, you know, all the big guns and the principled progressive community. And this weekend I'm going to endorse for the office of U.S. Senate, U.S. Senator, from Minnesota, another Michael, by the way, and another Irishman, Michael Cavlin.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely. This man is running on a peace platform, an ecological platform. He's a practicing nurse. And George Bush couldn't be worthy to be the dust on his left shoe.
Well, why don't you send me a website or some information, send it to Kathy, and we'll try to get him on the air.
Really?
Sure.
I will mention that to him. In fact, I'd prefer that he contact you. I don't want to go over his head, but I will give him that option that he should talk with you.
Okay. Sounds good. Just tell him to send an email to Malloy Producer at AOL.com.
I think even my simple mind can remember that, Michael.
Well,
but remember our website, kalpooli.net.
Yes, always.
So,
all right. Thanks a lot, Ray. I appreciate you checking in. Watch for that one, Kathy. Maybe we'll do that. Roberta is calling from San Diego. Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, doing fine, Roberta.
Well, I was actually so depressed that I couldn't even speak. I thought, well, I'm just going to have to hang up because I'm not going to even be able to speak, you know, because I just felt like I just had nothing but pain.
Mm.
And actually, Ray, kind of like an energy of some kind of action, some kind of movement, some kind of hope, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like, is this all real, this past year of life here on Earth? I mean, is this just some evil, horrible, gruesome, bad acid trip we're all on?
Doesn't it seem like that? I was trying to articulate that, I think, last week when I was talking about going to these art fairs in small towns in Georgia and just kind of walking around almost in a daze, looking at people eating Italian ices or an ice cream cone and maybe picking up a coffee cup here or a little piece of photographic art there, and the sun's shining and the birds are chirping, and you know, my 2-year-old, I have her hand in my hand, and I'm walking along, I'm looking at people pushing strollers, and I'm thinking, Jesus, doesn't anyone know what's happening?
Yeah, it feels pretty weird sometimes. You know, the little girl's brain fell out onto his boots. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
how about that?
I've heard that about 5 times today, you know, to the point where, you know, anyway, you know, that young man will never be okay again. You know, will any of us ever be the same? Are we going to get through this? I mean, when will it stop? How will it stop?
I don't know.
It almost feels as if the Antichrist has found a place to run rampant amongst us. Like Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and all of them, loving Christians?
Yeah.
Christians?
Right, yeah.
You know, like, what are they doing to the earth? What are they doing to humanity? Can we please find a way to just eject all of them off the planet and into some eternal black hole somewhere?
It's astonishing, isn't it? The fact that I come on this program at night and the things that I bring up as topics and the comments that are made from callers, and we're all speaking the same language, we're talking about things that are occurring, and it's madness. It's just madness.
Well, most people in Southern California think I'm some kind of a total freak, you know, because I have a lot of passion about this and I'm pretty consumed with it a good deal of the time. I have to really kind of watch that. But yeah, I get treated pretty much like I'm a real freak, you know, because I'm not just walking around the shopping mall buying things and just being all happy and going to the football games and just, you know, driving around with my cell phone stuck to the side of my head. I mean, you know, Southern California is really insane. But anyway.
I hear you. Hey, listen, thanks, Roberta. Hang in there. Just stay in touch. Hang
okay.
in there. Okay. The only thing that we all know is that everything passes away. Thanks, Roberta. I appreciate you checking in. Everything passes away, doesn't it? Billy is calling from Florida. Billy, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, Billy. How are you doing?
Mike, in 1969, 1970, I was fishing in Coochie, Vietnam. What you're seeing now, you know, it was going on then. But the saddest thing, and most people don't realize, is when you redeploy those troops back here, what do you think was going to happen? When we come back relocated from Vietnam, they started throwing most of them out and getting rid of them out of the military because they was coming back from combat zones and they didn't want them in there because they was going to the all-volunteer force. But do you realize what the murder rate and the abuse is going to be like when those kids come back to stateside?
I think it's going to be an extremely violent force that has been and will continue to be dumped into American society, because the Pentagon does not help these people when they come out of combat, even when it's a so-called legitimate war. This war was put together by a pack of whores and bastards in the White House and in the Project for the New American Century. And no, they don't care when the soldier has done his job. You know, to these people, a soldier is nothing more than a low-priced whore. Just get out there and turn the trick. And when you're finished turning the trick and the disease kills you, we don't care. That's how they treat these soldiers. That's probably how they treated you.
Well, you know, and the thing of it is, you know, you say, how do soldiers do this here as far as treat the Iraqis? Well, in Vietnam, it was the same thing because the people looked the same. Right. But the thing of it is, you dehumanize. You can't ask a kid. A kid won't shoot a person that he think is a human, you know. You dehumanize to the point, just like the British said, and it's so very true, that they are subhuman. Then it's easy to commit these atrocities against these people.
Yeah, I hear you. Billy, thanks for checking in, all right? I appreciate your call. Take care. Jimmy is calling from Sacramento. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I have to put you on hold because we got a break here, and I'll come back to you right after the break, okay?
Okay.
All right. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Jonas in America.
now we're at war, but we're at war to keep the peace.
I'm afraid of America. I'm afraid of the world.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Last August, did the planet betray us?
Early this morning, Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans.
Or did we betray the planet?
This is the biggest crisis in the history of this country.
This summer, critics everywhere are rallying behind an unlikely film. The Washington Post raves, you will be captivated, then riveted, and then scared out of your wits. Larry King calls An Inconvenient Truth one of the most important films ever. It should be seen by everyone who cares whether or not the human race will still exist in 50 years, declares Vanity Fair. And Ben Lyons of E! Says plainly, this is the most relevant, important, thought-provoking, and powerful film in years. Seeing this movie will change your life for the better, and hopefully, it will change the world. Paramount Classics is proud to present An Inconvenient Truth. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing in select theaters.
There are some who
feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to Jimmy in Sacramento. All right, Jimmy. Thanks for holding on.
Good evening.
Hey.
I just wanted to update you a little bit on what's going on locally here. I'm a member of Sacramento for Democracy, which is part was the local originally the local spinoff from the Dean campaign.
Right.
Democracy for America, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's working with Progressive Democrats of America to try to take over the California Democratic Party, along with the progressive, the brand new California Progressive Caucus. And we're really pushing Deborah Bowen for Secretary of State because she wants to go to open source voting.
Okay. What would you like me to do?
I was really going to ask you about, I haven't been keeping up exactly on your stuff, so I'm, on another issue, I wondered if you had talked much about, so-called Christian Reconstructionism.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past, but it's not something we're talking about tonight. Jimmy, listen, let me move on because I've got some folks who want to talk about the topics we are talking about. I appreciate your call, though. Yeah, Christian Reconstructionism, it's terrible, terrible, terrible stuff. There is no question. Larry is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you just fine, Larry.
Oh, okay. You sound different now. I called about Pat Tillman, what happened with his family, and I called about what my dad told me about some outrageous civilian deaths during World War II that made him just sick for the rest of his life. He felt real guilty and
yeah. You're not the fellow called tonight, are you?
Pardon me?
Are you the fellow that called earlier tonight?
I did not call today, no.
Oh, okay. All right.
You sent me the email. No, I don't.
Okay, all right. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Sorry,
Larry.
But about the Pat Tillman's family, after he died, they honored him with a book. They wrote a book. But the government changed the story so many times that they had the books in the warehouse that I used. And I always wanted to buy some of those books. And then one time I went in and they were gone. And the warehouseman told me that the family just finally had to take them to the dump and throw them away.
Yeah, I hear
you. You know, the whole thing was tragic right down to the last little thing. And what my dad told me about World War II. He said they wiped out entire towns in Germany because Hitler wanted everyone to resist to the last person.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It was terrible. But whenever some crazy idiot sends a war out, you know, people out to make war and break things and destroy parts of the world, this terrible devastation every time. And this crazy idiot we've got in the White House, he's just the drug-addled son of a former president that some people held up, and all those people, we need to get rid of all those people that have been holding him up.
Yeah, you're right, Larry. I appreciate you checking in. Let me move on. All right, listen, let me stop the program for just a second, okay? I'm pretty lax on this program about the calls that come in here, but this is getting out of hand. Now, let me tell you what I mean. I usually bring four or five topics to the program, and that's what I would like to get the calls on. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to clear every single phone line. If you're on hold, I'm sorry. My associate producer in New York is going to clear the lines, and we're going to start over. Okay? What we try to do on the program, and this is my fault for not running a tighter ship, I guess, is to bring up topics that have just crushed through the sound barrier out there on a given day, whether it is the atrocity in Haditha or the appointment of this the head of the Nature Conservancy to run the Department of the Treasury or whatever. And we bring these topics up, and I want to hear from you about that. I don't want to hear about World War II veterans, okay? I'm sorry, I just don't. I have nothing against World War II veterans. I love those that are still alive. Bless your hearts. So, can we clear the lines and start again? I'd appreciate it. I'm not trying to be a smartass on you here, but I would like to hear what you've got to say about the stuff we brought up tonight. Phone number here is 866-303-2270.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare. The latest novel by the Majority Report's Sam Cedar and Stephen Sherrill. It's available now! This book answers important questions like, where can I get help if I'm a gay-bashing Republican and I'm gay? How can we stop the American Taliban? And of course, why is Tom Friedman such a hack? My name is Janine Garofalo, and I am urging you to get FUBAR today. FUBAR, America's right-wing nightmare. Available now from bookstores everywhere and from AirAmericaRadio.com.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Bert is calling from Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Bert, welcome to the program.
Hey, appreciate it. My point is that about this issue in the Haditha.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me like we're in a situation now where we have to really make a hard choice between, do we want victory for ourselves, for the U.S., or do we want peace for Iraq? And that's I don't think we can have both at the same time.
I think you're right. I get your point. I think you're right. What do you think the Bush crime family wants, Bert?
Well, he's made it plain that it's all about victory. It's all about winning. It's all about a win. And
do these people think that this is a baseball game?
They seem to talk about it.
My God.
You know, you said, what was he saying a few days ago? People are unsettled.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like we're winning or that sort of thing, but we can't leave until victory, complete and total victory. That's what it was. How can you have a war on, how can you keep Iraq as the central front in the war on terror and say that you want Iraq to be a stable society?
It can't be done.
You can't have both, can you?
No, you cannot.
That's a hard choice, man, but we need some grown-ups, man, to really, you know, these guys are so, I mean, seems to me like they're just so invested. You know what I'm saying? They've
sure.
invested everything. And we're writing the history right now. You know what I'm saying? Because this is the history that's going to be taught to my kids, my mm-hmm. grandkids. I mean, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you make some excellent points, Bert. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Robert is calling from Miami. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello, yes. You were speaking of our slavish national news media, perhaps not in those words, in my words, but the way they're acting, and they're acting kind of as if this is a normal president. And that's one of the things that really offends me, is this sort of business as usual. There's nothing really wrong. Bush just occasionally blunders from time to time. And even the news outlets, which used to be respected, such as I was watching as much as I could stand, which wasn't much, of Nightline tonight, about John Donovan lecturing us like we're 5-year-olds about some autistic people that wanted a date. You wouldn't believe it. And about Angelina Jolie's baby. And, you know, thank God
Wait a minute. That's what's happened to Nightline?
That was on Nightline. Autistic people that want to date and have sex, and people were teaching them how to do it. And Angelina Jolie's baby was the next topic.
Oh, God.
And this used to be a news show. I mean, you can imagine Ted Koppel had his thoughts, okay, yes. But, I mean, Ted Koppel used to be, you know, was a journalist. I mean, these people, what are they? I don't know. But, I mean, you can go on sometimes Letterman and you see a more acerbic commentary against Bush on occasion than you do on Nightline. And Nightline, I don't know what their problem is, but anyway, so I was thinking about this, and in fact, I sent you an email a few days ago. I'm sure you get inundated with 1,000 emails, and I sort of was thinking about something I wrote where I said that the Democrats are constantly on TV, and they do the same thing the media does. They concede Bush is a good man, he means well, he's honest, and somehow he blunders and he makes mistakes. And why do they concede anything? And Bush isn't honest, he's not a good man. And it sort of reminds me of Michael Fortier a few years ago said about Timothy McVeigh, something along the lines of, well, Timothy was really a good man aside from the Oklahoma City incident.
Yeah, right.
And that was a true quote. You can look it up, but I the words are slightly off. And it's just, but it just blows my mind that.
Yeah, Hitler was okay except for the invasion of Poland and the death of 6 million Jews. Right.
So they're judging it, I guess, and I've never understood why people seem to like his personality. That's beyond me. But I guess they're judging it by people like his personality, like his twang, his Texas way of speaking, etc. And even if he weren't a horrible president, I don't understand why somebody likes it when somebody speaks kind of like a nincompoop, okay? I don't grasp why that's folksy and charming, because I know people who are folksy and charming, people who are like taxi drivers, who can talk about things like they read a book and they can discuss it. You know what I'm saying? They're not dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so anyway, but that's, I guess I'm going off topic, but I was just saying that's my main point, is that it infuriates me when Democrats or anyone who's anti-Bush goes on the air and they say Bush is honest, he's a good man, and we wish him well, and we wish his war effort well, and all this stuff, when it was doomed from the beginning because of the way he set it up. So, I mean, they're sort of buying into the pretense that he had a program for the American people, and he's just sort of gone off the track. And that was never true from the beginning. So if you concede half of the guy's program, let's say, half of his legitimacy, you could say, you concede his legitimacy by saying he's a good man, he means well, but he just makes mistakes, he blunders. You concede it. I don't think they should concede his legitimacy.
No, because he has none. I get your point, though. Robert, thanks for checking in. I certainly agree. I think there's something about so many of us, though, not you, Robert, and certainly not me, but there's an attitude that we have in this country that somebody who is... whose head sticks up a little bit above the crowd, we like to knock him down. And I think that's one of the reasons that Bush has somehow gotten this reputation of being folksy and down to earth. He's a dumb bastard. He's just dumber than mud. And I think a lot of people like that because they can feel superior to it or feel on an equal footing with it. I've always believed, and I have, that the presidency of the United States should, that office should be occupied by somebody who's, first of all, smarter than I am. I'm not saying smarter than everybody else in America, but certainly smarter than I am. He or she, let's not get gender or pronoun crazy here. He should have, because it's always been men, an understanding of foreign policy that exceeds mine. This dumbass doesn't. He should have an understanding that he is a steward of the U.S. Constitution and the American people. He's going to be here short term. I don't care if he gets elected to reelected. He's going to be here short term in the big scope of things. I think he should be humble. Be a strong leader domestically, and humble at the same time. This freak, this absolute freak of nature that stumbles about like I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. But stumbling through the presidency like a would-be dictator, I guess, like a neo-fascist, I guess, like the drunk, drug-addled freak that he is, this is not what I've always thought a presidency should be, whether it was Democrat or Republican. I didn't give a damn. I mean, I was stunned by what I learned about Nixon. But at least Nixon, and I'm saying at least Nixon, could at times come across as presidential. He was a lying, sick, drunk, crazy man, but he was still able to maintain a facade, an aura, a display of the standard belief of what a president is supposed to say, even up to and including, I'm not a crook. Your president is not a crook. Even up to and including that. But this guy, this useless, worthless George W. Bush, my God, he brags about eking by on C's in college, and people clap. We went from a Rhodes Scholar. I don't care what you think of Bill Clinton. There's a lot of things about him that just thoroughly made me sick. But we went from a Rhodes Scholar to a village idiot. What do we expect? That somehow we'd be more respected in the world? That some half-witted moron like Bush would miraculously make smart decisions? He what? He was going to surround himself with really brilliant, honest people like who? Rumsfeld? Cheney? Rice? Powell? At this point, I would accept full sentences from this half-wit. Coherent, grammatically correct, or close to it, full sentences, without an earpiece, without a codpiece. Just string 7, 8, 9, 12 words together, George. Try a sentence with a compound subject. Subordinate clauses just once. Let me hear you do it. Jesus.
I am the egghead.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen up, people. The Ghani and Vermont American Bits and Blades probably supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you can be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken, Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, I haven't, but you can hear it in my voice, right? Thanks to our engineers in New York, Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac. Lauren Kirchner answered your calls tonight. I'm sorry, D. Neal answered your calls tonight. Sorry about that, D. Our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall maintains the website. Ben Birch archives the program, and Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. I know you've seen this one, the old black and white version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, regarding your weekend and your trip to the art fair, don't you feel like Kevin McCarthy sometimes when you're...
No, I've got to say, yeah, I do. I feel like I'm floating among pod people.
Well, I would almost imagine that, like, they've tried to slip the pod down into your basement, but the second it hears your radio show, you know, it's forming its ears, not to get facetious, but it makes that little yike, man. I have a feeling they've tried with you, man.
You know,
regarding Ray and Roberta, the people that, I think Ray was from Minneapolis and Roberta was from San Diego, I know that. To carry on with what they were talking about, I mean, you know, the statement of ignorance is bliss. It's so pertinent to today. But, I mean, you know, this is like a 25-year buildup that we've had. The second that the fairness doctrine fell,
mm-hmm.
That's when the neocons were able to, like, gather up all of the corporations, including our wonderful media, and begin, you know, most people think their heads are on straight. It's their melons that are twisted.
That's very true.
Yeah, so, you know, but the other thing about how you were saying about his down-home personality, that's what appeals to most of his Republican base, other than the neocon core, but they realize that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what is...
Yeah, I think the neocons, the PNAC crowd, the Cheneys and Rumsfelds of the American political scene, deliberately and consciously looked across the political landscape back around 1999, 1998, and said, where can we find the most arrogant, stupid, bully-type punk who has some political experience because of his family? Let me see where can, and run this dumbass for president. Let me see, where can we? Oh, there in Austin, Texas.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course. Real quick, because I don't know how much time I have, I wanted to relay some happy news about another member of my family. Another member of the sheeple has awakened.
Oh yeah.
This one is my brother. But see, this is the other thing. It takes almost a near-death experience, an actual absorption of what is actually going on concerning the Iraqi war,
mm-hmm.
for them to wake up.
And I know,
in this
I know.
Case, I don't want to belittle him because I love my brother dearly, but he deliberately enlisted into the army and went to Iraq. And because he was one of the commercial truck drivers here in the States, they automatically and immediately put him to work driving the trucks back and forth from, like, say, Tikrit or any of the other bases.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a target of the roadside bombings.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the two soldiers driving the truck directly in front of his were killed. And my heart always goes out to them. I don't know these people, but I think about them constantly because, you know, any loss of life is tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of my brother, had he not been wearing the special armor, he would also be a victim of this as well. So that's what it takes for some people to wake up. So I just wanted to relay that to you because I know I told you about my dad, Archie Bunker, in Phoenix, right?
Right, right. Okay. So since that incident, your brother has what, become anti-war or what?
Well, that's another story. At least he's aware of what is happening and how the wool is being pulled over everyone's eyes. He now realizes the mistakes of going to Iraq, and he's aware of that side of the perpetration. He's got a ways to go, and maybe in another 6 months he'll realize the master plan that's going on here. But at least he's awake.
Well, keep us posted. Thanks, Sanchez.
Most definitely. Good night.
Appreciate you checking in. You know, I every time, and it's with an alarming regularity here recently, every time I pick up the paper or turn on one of these half-witted news programs and hear about another instance of our people committing these atrocities. Now, I understand we've lost almost 2,500 dead Americans. I'm sure more than that, but that's the number that the Bush crime family puts out. And thousands more who have had arms and legs blown off and faces blown to pieces. In the first place, the first instance, I hate the people who set up this war, the Bush crime family, and sent our troops into this. But immediately on the heels of that realization, I just am beginning to develop the question, what happened to honor where it concerns U.S. military? What has happened? What has happened to the ability to make a clear distinction between right and wrong? Of course, I understand when young people go into the military, they give up their minds. That's the first thing that goes. But so many of the people that are in Iraq are not young people. They're people in their 30s and 40s. And when I hear of instances like this, where what happened in Haditha, what appears to have happened in Haditha, where 24 innocent civilians are simply executed like so many animals, I can't contain it. So it leaves me with the question: what has happened to the United States military? That's a bad thought. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.